we're going to continue in our series on the 23rd Psalm this Sunday. And this is our third week going through this passage of Scripture. So if you've missed the last 2 weeks, we'd encourage you to go either to our website or you can scroll down further here on our Facebook page and watch those last 2 weeks or listen to them.
Right.
So you can get kind of caught up with where we are in this series and not miss out on any of the teaching that we've been doing. But we're going to open this morning by just reading the 23rd Psalm. Again, I think last week we read from the New International Version, the NIV. And this week I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. And it says it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Mrs. Reisner. Like I said, we are in the Good Shepherd Part 3. And just because it's a short passage, we're going to read that every week. And we are about halfway through. And we want to jump into it. We want to remind you, if you've not been listening or been able to watch us the last couple weeks, week one, we talked about the Good Shepherd and how he impacted the lives of the sheep.
Right? Yeah, it's important for the livelihood of the sheep for their shepherd to be a good shepherd. A bad shepherd is going to not care for the sheep, but care for his own needs. And we see that pattern throughout Scripture and other places too.
Right. And week two, last week we discussed how the Good Shepherd really provides for his sheep. And there's some examples of that.
Yeah, leading them by still waters,
pastures. Making them lie down maybe when they don't really want to. And so we're going to continue in this verse. We're going to finish up verse 3 and get through verse 4 this week. And we should be able to wrap up next week. But I do want to remind you of our Cornerstone Connect number, 605-215-5150. We'll also post it in the comments. If you have a question about the message or anything about the church, but really the message, we would love to keep the conversation going with you. And so if anything we say that you would like further explanation, just feel free to ask us a question and we will respond. So the question this week, we've got a question to get you started. The question this week is, do you enjoy change or new adventures? Drop your comments down below. Do you enjoy change? Are you a person that likes change?
Do you like change, Jason?
I like change when it's my idea. Mm-hmm. I suspect other people are like that too.
Yeah.
Okay. I do like new adventures. There's something, I like that type of surprise or that type of adventure, for lack of a better word. I do like to discover new things. I think that's part of my personality. Yeah. Do you?
I don't. I'm not a changed person. I like things to stay the same. Sometimes I like when things have changed after the fact, but going through the process of change I find very difficult and painful. And even adventures, a lot of times I look back on them fondly, but in the moment sometimes they can seem full of adversity and trial. I remember there was one time when we were still living in Nashville, I had taken the boys downtown for a field trip to the Country Music Hall of Fame Museum, and we had thought it was going to be warm, and it was actually pretty chilly, and it rained on us, and we had to walk several blocks. We were all huddled under one little umbrella, and all of our feet got wet because we had like vintage tennis shoes on. And so we spent the rest of the day in wet shoes. But I remember that really fondly now. But in the moment, it was not a fun adventure.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Wet socks and shoes. That sounds like a great adventure.
But we had such a good time together on that field trip that now it seems like a lot of fun. But in the moment, it was not so much fun.
Right. Okay. So we're going to jump into part one this morning because sometimes I think sheep are like that.
Yeah.
Right? They don't always like change. They like things to stay the same. Mm-hmm. And if we look at part one, which is really the second half of verse 3, it's that he guides me along paths, right paths, NIV says. ESV says
paths of righteousness.
Paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And here again, we see this picture of the shepherd leading the sheep. And we spoke about that in our first couple of weeks of the shepherd being necessary to lead the sheep, because sheep are just basically dumb.
Yeah.
Sheep are dumb. They're kind of this mob mentality that's not a real bright mentality, and leads me, guides me along right paths, paths of righteousness and right living, and for his name's sake. And there's a couple things that are interesting, because if sheep were left on their own devices, they would just stay in the same pasture. They would just stay somewhere very familiar, somewhere very safe, but it'd be very destructive for the pasture. They would overgraze the pasture, okay? Okay, and so, man, they would just eat every blade of green grass that's there. And what happens is the shepherd will lead the sheep to different pastures. They'll rotate, okay? We have farmers around this area. They'll rotate crops for the benefit of the field, the benefit of the crops. The sheep would, the shepherd would lead the sheep to different pastures to graze because they didn't want to overgraze the sheep's favorite field.
Okay? But the sheep wouldn't do that on their own.
Sheep would not do that on their own. They would stay there. And what would happen is they'd overgraze it. They'd strip the land of the vegetation. They would rut the trails. I mean, they'd walk the same trails, eat the same grass. There'd be ruts. Eventually it could lead to even erosion of the soil from overuse as they stripped the vegetation. But also imagine, this is going to be the most pleasant thing you guys think about today, but imagine if the sheep stays in the same fields, as they keep eating, what's going to happen? They will eventually, that soil can be contaminated by their own waste as they're all in one spot. And they get, told you, that was awesome. Happy Mother's Day for that. And so it increases their chance of parasites and disease if they stay in sort of the same area instead of moving around. Moving around prevents disease, prevents them being infected by parasites. So even the healthiest flocks.
So the shepherd makes them move on and change even when they don't want to for their own good.
Right. Right. So even when they'd rather stay in one place, shepherd makes them move on for their own good, and they don't even realize it at the time.
Yeah.
But he leads them. He leads them. He guides them along paths for righteousness. And reminds me of, it's so important. The writer of Proverbs wrote it twice.
Okay.
Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 says, "There's a way that appears to be right." Okay. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Okay, other words say there's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. Okay, the sheep, they'd seem okay and it seemed right to them to stay in one spot the whole time. But ultimately, it would be bad for them and could possibly even lead to their death. And so we see this sort of this image of the shepherd leading the sheep.
And that's kind of like what we were talking about change too. Like,
right.
Neither one of us likes change if it's not our idea.
Right.
But sometimes when we're forced to change, it leads us to places of greater health or wellness or even just finding new patterns.
Right. And even now as we are struggling with this virus, you know, some of you have been forced to change when you didn't want to change. Okay. We've been forced to grow in ways. And even if things kind of get back to normal fairly quickly, hopefully there are lessons that we all have learned.
Yeah.
Hopefully there'll be some lasting change come out of it, developing of our character, developing of patience. Some of you are struggling with patience right now.
Yeah. Okay. But we're impatient to get back to meeting in this facility with you guys.
And I know we're not alone, but, you know, we're responsible for the flock.
Yeah.
We've got to do what's right and do what's best. And so, anyway, so our shepherd moves us along paths, right paths, righteous paths for his name's sake.
Because it ultimately shapes our character so that we can bring greater glory to him.
Right. And we don't always think about that, his namesake. Okay.
Yeah.
The condition of the flock would reflect upon the shepherd.
Yeah.
And if you were here for our message series, Deconstructing Eden, one of the first weeks we talked about God being the center of the universe, and one of the biggest problems today is we try to put ourselves back at the center of the universe. And here the shepherd, for his name's sake, the condition of the flock, condition of the sheep, greatly impacted how people looked at him as a shepherd. And as believers, as followers of Jesus, we're not here to bring attention to ourselves. We are here to bring attention to our good shepherd, Jesus. Bring attention to the Lord. So my prayer for all of us at Cornerstone Church is that as we follow our good shepherd, we bring glory to his name.
Yeah.
And he is proud of us, and we represent him well, although we are not perfect and we're never going to be perfect. But when people see us, maybe they'll catch a glimpse of our shepherd. Maybe they'll catch a glimpse of Jesus as we follow him, our good shepherd. So let's move on to the next verse here. Okay, we've talked about being guided along right paths, mm-hmm. righteousness for his name's sake. Now let's look at this next part.
Yeah, verse 4 yes. starts by saying, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, NIV says, through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Right.
And I think the last part of that verse is what's key. Because often we hear this right. verse used at funerals, you right. know, because we think about what it is when we're walking through the shadow of death, when loved ones have died, or when we're faced up against our own mortality. But this verse applies to, I think, so much more than that.
Right.
For times of fear and danger, times when death does come near. But even in a time like this, where we right. are hearing reports of death, but also things that make us afraid for the future.
Yes.
What this verse says is that we'll fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord is with us. And that's the key. And we talked about that a little bit last week.
Right.
But I don't think I can overemphasize that enough, that what sustains us in the midst of every circumstance is the presence of the Lord.
Right.
And I think so yeah. often we resist that being the thing that's going to fulfill our greatest needs. You see that patterned throughout scripture several times. In fact, there's a great book by an author named Glenna Marshall called The Promise is His Presence. And if you want to dig into this topic further, I would really highly recommend that book. But she points out how all throughout scripture, what God offers us is himself. And we say, no, I want more than that. God offered himself to Adam and Eve in the garden, but they wanted the fruit instead. God offered himself to the Israelites in the wilderness. And they said, no, we want to go back to Egypt. Mm. God offered himself to the Israelites in the temple, and they still bowed down to false idols. And then in the book of John, I told you, I've been reading the book of John a lot lately. Right. And so those stories are just really kind of fresh on my heart. There's this story that you're probably familiar with, where Jesus multiplies the bread and the fish. Mm-hmm. He takes a little boy's lunch, just a couple of loaves of bread and a handful of fish. And he feeds this multitude, like basically the entire city of Vermilion, because it's 5,000 men, but also women and children. And he feeds them all with this food. And then he sends the crowd away, and he goes up to pray, and he crosses the lake with his disciples. And they come find him again the next day. And what Jesus says to them is really telling. Because they're looking, they're thinking maybe he's the Messiah. But what he says is, you didn't come because you really want to follow me. You came because I gave you bread and you were satisfied. And they said, well, why don't you give us some more bread? You know, Moses gave the Israelites manna in the wilderness every day for 40 years. And that's when Jesus says these words. He says, I am the bread of life. So once again, we see God saying, what I have to provide for you, yes, I want to give you healing. Yes, I want to provide for you. But yeah. ultimately, the best thing that I can give you is myself.
Right. So we're guilty mm-hmm. of maybe being like sheep at times. But we're guilty of wanting all the good stuff
yeah.
that comes from our shepherd, good stuff that yes. comes from Jesus. But we're not really enjoying the process
mm-hmm. yeah.
or the requirement of following.
Yeah. Well, and I think we've seen, hopefully, one of the fruit that will come out of this time of being separated and isolated from one another is that we recognize the power of the presence of other people, something that a phone call or a Zoom meeting can't quite replicate. Mm-hmm. That there's something about being in the room with someone else and enjoying right. their presence. And that's what God wants to offer us. It's right. it's intangible, but it matters so much more than all the other things we often come to him for.
Well, as I was looking at this passage, I learned that shepherds in the summertime, especially kind of in Palestine, they would move their sheep to the upper elevations, mm-hmm. move them up to the mountains where they couldn't feed in the cooler months.
Sure.
But it'd be cooler during the summer when it was mm-hmm. hot and arid and dry. Mm-hmm. They would move them to the mountaintop. But to get to the mountain, they had to go through the valley.
Okay.
And I think of, if you're a follower of Jesus, we love the mountaintop experiences. We love yeah. all the good things. But we don't always recognize sometimes we have to go through the valley to get there. Mm-hmm. And the valley could be a place of danger for the sheep. Mm-hmm. But the shepherd says, hey, I'm going to be with you. Mm-hmm. To get where we want to go, maybe we've got to go through the valley.
Yeah.
Through the shadows, through potential dangers. But mm-hmm. but it's okay because I'm with you. It's okay because yeah. I'm gonna be there. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Well, and it reminds me of the book of Job, too. And I think we've mm-hmm. talked about this before. But in the book of Job, I mean, is there anybody who went through a worse valley right. of the shadow of death than Job?
Right.
He lost his entire livelihood. He lost all 10 of his children.
Right.
And then he lost his physical health, which really was the low point for Job. If
right.
you've been any, if you've ever, you know, dealt with a lot of physical complications or disease, you know how sometimes that can make you despair in a way that nothing else could when you're,
right.
when your body itself is failing. And Job cries out to the Lord for something like 35 chapters, you know, as he's arguing with his friends and saying, this is all God's fault. And what happens in the end is God shows up and he asks Job a bunch of questions and he never answers any of Job's questions.
Right.
But what we see in the end, Job says, I saw the Lord and that was enough for
that
me. I didn't need my questions answered because God came and visited me with his yeah. presence.
So it's in the valley where the sheep really learn the value.
Yeah.
of the shepherd, the power of the shepherd, the power of the shepherd's presence.
Yeah.
Okay. They would prefer to be airlifted from the green pasture down below to the green hills
yeah.
up above, but it's in that
but
valley.
Instead,
it's in the
yeah,
shadow
they have to go
death.
Through that valley, but they do it with their shepherd.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so, man, don't miss how important that is. Don't miss how that might apply to you this time. We would love for this to be over. Everybody probably just can't wait to get
yeah.
where this COVID virus gets over and we're done and we can move on. But man, draw near to your good shepherd. Draw
yeah.
near to Jesus during this time. Maybe learn to draw closer to him in new ways, develop new habits of spending time with him. And it's in those valleys that you learn really the how personal of a shepherd we have, how personal our Savior is. And it's really only in those times that you can learn that. Okay, it's hard to really learn that when everything is perfect because we feel like we don't need him quite as much.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so during this time of walking through the valley, listen, draw near to your shepherd. And Jesus, in fact, told his disciples that things weren't always going to be easy. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
So he's saying, listen, you're going to have trouble, guys, if you follow me,
yeah.
and you're going to have trouble.
Yeah.
And the shepherd does the same thing. He never says that, hey, you're my sheep, come this way, come follow me, but we're going to avoid trouble. No, we're going to go through the valley. We're going to go through the valley, but we're going to go through it together,
yeah.
and I'm going to be with you.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to
Well, and Jesus
you.
Talking about overcoming, I think that leads right into the next part of,
yes.
of verse 4, because right after it says that the shepherd is with us, it mentions these two things. It says, your rod and your staff are with me.
Right.
And they comfort me. And the interesting thing about the rod and staff, and you may have heard this before, but I hope maybe this is new information mm-hmm. to you and that it's illuminating this for you. The rod and the staff represented two things to the sheep. They represented discipline
mm-hmm.
or like chastisement. And they represented protection from their enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Because the shepherd would use the rod and the staff both to fight off predators,
mm-hmm.
Wolves and things of that nature. And you can even think about, you know, David when he was facing Goliath. And he said, I've already attacked a lion and
right.
a bear that came after my sheep. So the shepherd is fierce, a fierce defender of his sheep
right.
against enemies. But he also uses his rod and staff to correct the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think like a shepherd's staff that has a crook on it, that would be useful in really grabbing the neck of a sheep and pulling him away from something where he wasn't supposed to go. And so we're supposed to find comfort, not just in the idea that our shepherd is protecting us from our enemies,
right.
But also in the fact that he's going to discipline us. And we've talked a little bit about how we've made our children memorize this verse, but let me give you another one that you can make your children memorize. I made my kids learn this several years ago. But I found it to be really convicting in my own life, too. And it's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. And it says this, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it will produce a harvest of righteousness
right.
and peace for those who have been trained by it. And I encourage my children all the time, listen, I know that discipline doesn't feel fun. I know that it doesn't feel fun for you to be corrected, for you to be punished, for you to be led away from this path of destruction and onto the right path. But we do it out of a heart of love, and our shepherd does it out of a heart of love, and it should bring us great comfort to know that our shepherd, if we're walking closely with him, is not going to allow us to stray off the path that he has for us.
Right.
But that he's going to correct us. He's going to pull us back. He's going to use scripture to convict our hearts. He's going to use other people to speak wisdom into our lives. And that is going to help us continue on this path of righteousness for his name's sake.
a couple of interesting thoughts about the rod and the staff as you were talking. I was reading through some study, and the rod, like you mentioned, could beat off predators. Mm-hmm. Okay, but also rather it could be used for inspection. As the sheep would come out of the pen, the shepherd could use the rod to look at the wool and the condition of their skin for like parasites or insects or something like that. And even Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37 kind of mentions the rod, like as you pass under my rod, is what a shepherd would use to inspect his sheep, but also for discipline. And one example was if the sheep were getting ready to eat of a poisonous plant, when those shepherds were good, I mean, they could throw that rod, give a little love bonk to the head to kind of condition the sheep, like, okay, I'm not supposed to be eating that.
Yeah.
And I even heard it compared to the Word of God, as the Word of God is our defense, as the Word of God inspects our heart.
Yeah.
And even David even later writes in Psalm 139, like, search me, O God. Know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. And even the rod could symbolize the Word of God.
And that doesn't feel comfortable. Does it? For us to, for our hearts to be inspected, for us to be disciplined and corrected. I especially don't like anytime I feel like I'm being corrected, especially by another person. I feel like I've done something wrong and I feel shame.
Right.
But it's an invitation into a fuller life with Jesus when we invite that correction. And even if you were in our small group, the last session of life groups that we had in our homes, we were talking about in 1 Timothy. Where it talks about all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And when I go to scripture, I usually don't go for any of those four things. I go for encouragement and to find, you know, some Bible verse that's going to make me feel better about myself. But God says that his word is for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training. And none of those things sound very fun to me. Like training sounds hard and painful, and correcting and being rebuked doesn't sound pleasant, but it's coming from a loving shepherd who wants to train me up in righteousness and train me up to maturity so that I can follow him more fully and so that I'll stay away from the things that are dangerous to me, from the sins that are going to harm me and draw me away from him.
Right. And I think of the staff, you know, the rod is more of a blunt instrument.
Yes.
The staff is a little more subtle, you know, and if you've seen it, you know, a crooked.
Yeah, like crooked it from top. A manger scene, you know, where you got the shepherds holding
and
the
staff. And I've heard that more compared to the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, of how, you know, if a sheep was wandering off the path, how the shepherd would just use that crook to pull that sheep back.
Yeah.
And also heard it being used as kind of like to rescue the sheep. He could even use just the end of the staff, just press it up against the side of a sheep, just to gently adjust them,
nudge them as they're walking
either way, and not as a punishment. Just I'm just going to nudge you over here in this part of the trail.
Yeah.
And one of the most amazing things I read was a shepherd, if he had a lot of sheep that were giving birth at the same time, he could use the end of that staff to pull that newborn near the mother, where he didn't have to touch it, and the mother wouldn't reject a newborn because his scent was on it. But he could pull all of them close to the mother, but also whenever they were grown, he would use that staff to pull them near himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of an interesting thing, way to look at the rod as kind of the word of God, and then the power and the defense and the discipline and the staff being like the spirit that draws us close, that gently nudges us when we need to be nudged.
Well, and what a gift that is, too, to think not only that we have Jesus,
who
called himself our good shepherd, but we know that Jesus has ascended to heaven, and even though he's interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, he's not here physically with us the way he was with the disciples.
Right.
But we have these two gifts, the rod and the staff, or the word of God, and the Holy Spirit that dwells within us if we have chosen to follow Jesus. That's just such a beautiful picture of how Jesus leads us and brings us into his presence.
Yes. And so I kind of want to transition here. Was there anything you want to say just as we kind of wrap up, as we move on here? And because I want to pray for you guys before we go. But I just want to encourage you guys. I know this is, like I said, we mentioned a couple times, it's kind of been a weird last several weeks for everyone. But I want to encourage you. Listen, I'm going to talk to you. If you're a follower of Jesus, I'm talking to you. I want to encourage you, draw near to your shepherd during this time.
Yes.
Maybe this may feel like the valley of the shadow of death, or maybe it's a small bump in the road for you. Whatever that feels like to you, draw near to your shepherd. Okay, open yourself up to his word. You know, if that's his rod, open yourself up to that. Whether you need discipline or correction or protection, Because some of you are struggling with thoughts that are not biblical. You need God's word to protect your heart and your mind. Okay, open yourself up to the staff, to his spirit, because he wants to draw near to you. Okay, and he will use that to bring people back. And maybe you're praying for somebody that need the Holy Spirit to draw them back to him, who maybe walked away from him. Because he will use the staff to comfort. He will use it to rescue, to draw people close. But I want to read a verse here. This is the writer of Hebrews is writing. He's really writing to people that is experiencing something a little bit different than us. Okay, we're not experiencing persecution because of our faith right now. Right. But I still think this applies. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36, it says, "Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." Listen, God has promised us his presence all the way through Scripture. We've taught about here, the, you know, get this book. I'll even have Amy post it in the comments, this book. Talking about the presence of God. That's the one consistent promise throughout Scripture, is he will be our God and we will be his people if we follow him. And this verse about the Good Shepherd, that is just a, that's just a picture of a relationship of us and God. Jesus even uses it in John chapter 10 of the shepherd and the sheep, that we are his. Yeah. And he calls us to come along. He calls us to follow. And it's a very much a submissive, surrendering relationship, which we don't like to do. But God says, listen, I'll be with you. And if you just persevere, if you stick it out, if you stick with me through the valley of the shadow of death, listen, we're going to reach the mountaintop. Yeah. We're going to reach where you want to go, but we may have to go through something that's not not terribly comfortable, something that may not be convenient, something you'd rather avoid. And so I encourage you guys, persevere through this time. Persevere in your faith, and God is going to bring us through. Those of you that are praying for healing, persevere. Those of you that are praying for someone that needs to know Jesus or to come back to him, and keep praying. Okay, keep persevering, and we will be rewarded if we just stand firm and persevere. So,
and if you're someone who doesn't already know and follow Jesus,
right?
If you don't know what it is we're talking about, to have this relationship with him as your good shepherd. First of all, I would encourage you to go online and look at this story in Luke chapter 15. If you just type Luke 15 into your Google search bar, it'll pull that up for you. But there's this story where once again, Jesus compares himself to a good shepherd. Mm. And he says, if one of his sheep has wandered off, he's going to leave the 99
right,
and go find that one that needs to be brought into the fold. And I just want you to know this morning that if you don't acknowledge Jesus as your shepherd, he wants to be that for you.
Yes.
And he is searching the hills and the valleys for you, and he has gone after you. And maybe that's even why you felt compelled to watch this morning, is because Jesus is going after you, and he wants you to come into the fold, and he wants you to know him, and he wants you to follow him as your good shepherd, because he has right paths for you to walk in. Yes. And he has a life of fullness to offer you that's better than anything that you have ever experienced. And so we would encourage you today, not just to read that passage, but if you want to know more about what it is to follow Jesus, please reach out to us. You can fill out that online connect card that we talked about on our website, or you can message the church here on Facebook. We would love to talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus and help you respond to this invitation that he offers you to be your good shepherd.
Yeah. So I'm going to pray right now. And whether you're a follower or not, and like Amy said, use our Google Connect number. If you'd like to text us, connect with us, we would just, we would love to talk with you, pray with you. So let's pray this morning that we would be sheep that follow like we're supposed to. But also I'm going to pray that God will encourage you that maybe are in the valley and you just maybe need to feel the presence of your shepherd a little more personally this morning. So let's pray this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a good shepherd. And I thank you for all of those that are listening, those that are following you. God, I pray that you would encourage them in their spirit if they are struggling, if they're struggling to persevere, God, whether that's something for themselves or something they're believing and praying for someone else. I pray that you would speak encouragement to them this morning, that they would not give up, that they would continue to follow and to trust their shepherd. And God, we just pray that if somebody is listening this morning that has just, God, maybe stumbled on here by accident and they don't know much about you, or maybe they walked away from you at some point, I pray that, God, that your word is challenging them this morning and that your Holy Spirit is drawing them And maybe they're ready to give up on life. Maybe they think that nobody cares. I pray that your Holy Spirit were to speak to them right now in their living room as they are watching on their computer, on their phone.
Yes.
That they would know that they are not forgotten by you and that you are searching for them.
Yes,
and you are just waiting for them to pause and turn towards you.
Yes.
And so, God, I pray for that one that is struggling this morning just with life. God, struggling with even wondering whether they should keep living. God, I pray that you would speak to them in this moment, that they would know that they are created by you, that you love them, and that you are calling them, and they've got a purpose and a place in your family. And so, Lord, we just, God, give all of our needs to you this morning, and we lay them at your feet, the feet of our good shepherd. We know that you love us, you'll protect us, and you will lead us where we need to go. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to be obedient and responsive to you.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.